Some of you probably know that in February, Reverend Xavier and his wife Kimi came with my wife and I and some other pastors. We went on a trip to El Salvador together. Pardon me. And so we were there, we got a chance to explore that country a little bit and see some of what compassion is doing in that country. And it was really good, really fun, cool opportunity to travel a little bit and to encounter Xavier's sense of humor. It was really good. One of the things that we did while we were there, the four of us went along with an interpreter and visited with a family that compassion supports. And so this is a picture of us with the young mom. She's only 26 years old. And she has three kids. One was a newborn. And they lived in this home. Right behind us is one room, one big room with some bunk beds and some cooking facilities. And they live and they cook and they sleep all together in that one room. And while we were visiting with her, it was just a chance to see her home and encounter what life is like for a family that compassion supports. And all of a sudden, our interpreter starts talking to her and he's kind of going, on, and we're like, what are you saying? We don't know what's going on. And as he talks to her, she starts to cry a little bit. And she had told us a little bit about some of the things that she was afraid of for her future and for her kids' future and for their home. And there was a chance they might lose their home and things like that. And she starts to cry, and then our interpreter finally turns back to us and he says, I just told her that your pastor's from Canada. And that it's not a coincidence that there's pastors here today because she had said that she needed prayer.
And then after we had finished praying,
so she asked if we, as Canadians, as pastors, would pray with her. And so we did. That was a beautiful time. And when we finished praying, she said, I want to show you something. And compassion had given her, as part of an effort to give her some means to support herself, they had paid for a stove for her to use. What she does is she makes food and she sells it.
Right?
And so she said, I want to show you how I do this. And so I'm going to teach you how to make papusas, which is like a breakfast. It's like a doughy thing with beans in it or something like that. And I want to show you how I make papusas. So she showed us and she taught us. And
before we left, we were able to.
And so we all learned about making papusas. Xavier, he's okay. I don't think you have to worry about him leaving to become a papusa maker anytime soon. Just a great chance. And before we left, we were able to give her this basket of food, and it had some rice and some oil and flour and things like that, staples for the kitchen, which they were really grateful for. But the youngest one there, she's not looking at the camera, but she was mostly excited, I have to say, about the Captain Crunch in the box, which I was too. About 60 years ago, there's another pastor who took a trip that was similar to ours.
His name was Everett Swanson.
From the United States. His name is Everett Swanson. This is him. And he traveled to South Korea in the wake of the Korean War. It was a trip for him to go and visit some soldiers that were still there, share the gospel with them. Encourage them, and it was an evangelistic trip, and so he thought this is going to be a short, very simple trip. I'll visit them, I'll share the gospel, and I'll go home.
Become orphans. Because
what he didn't expect was for God to capture his heart with what was happening in that country. And so one day he was outside of the place that he was staying, and a little boy ran by and grabbed his coat and ran off
to keep each other warm.
So he's going after his boy, trying to get his coat back, and he came around a corner where the boy had gone, and the boy was gone, but his coat was like on this pile of it looked like a pile of coats.
And
so
one morning,
he went to get it back,
and
the pile started to move, and he realized that underneath that pile of coats, there was a couple little boys. And what he discovered was that in that country, because of this war that had happened, there were tens of thousands of children who had become orphans, who had no, there was no infrastructure, there was no support systems for these kids. And so they would help each other, they would grab coats and piles of coats, and they would huddle together to keep themselves warm. And the night would come, and they would try and survive that way together. And he said the next morning he saw as a truck came around, and they would look for these piles of coats, and they would try and decipher which ones had survived the night. And
Everett felt God speaking directly to him.
And his heart absolutely broke as he encountered the desperate situation that these children were in. And so as he went home, thinking, you know, again, anticipated this problem, short trip, back home, he couldn't get this one thought, and he knew that God was speaking to his heart with a challenge.
So he
God was saying, I've shown you
raising money from
what's happening here. I've shown you
to care
the
for these children in Korea.
Now what are you going to do about it?
And
so he went home and he started raising support from friends and family so that he could send
before
it back and care for those children that he had met. And
before
long, he formed the Everett Swanson Evangelistic Association, with a very catchy title, and through that organization, sending support back to South Korea. The Everett Swanson Evangelistic Association came to be known through the years, now is known as Compassion International. Works in 26 different countries supporting children who are in extreme poverty.
You probably remember it was about 2 years ago that a clothing factory.
A couple years ago, you'll probably remember the news stories that came through that factory, the clothing factory in Bangladesh that collapsed. There was 1,000 workers that were killed in that accident. There was thousands more that were injured.
Over 2,000.
I remember really clearly my wife and I watching the news come through.
All who were there working in these,
you know, on our Facebook feeds, which is where we get our news. And we watched it come through, and we were totally gutted.
As my wife and I
felt helpless, and how do you respond to something like this? And what we couldn't stop thinking was, how is something like that still possible in the world that I live in today? How is this kind of thing happening?
And there are
so many different examples, right, of the ways that poverty is still affecting our world today. So today there's 400 million children that are living in what we call extreme poverty,
today in
which
our
is
world
kind of
there's 400 million
equated to about $1.25 US or less by household income. And that's kind of
today,
equalized
in this
for,
world,
for different 17,000 currencies.
Children die every
400
day.
Million. There's 17,000 children that die every day, and that could be prevented. Poverty-related causes, malnutrition, lack of medicine. Three-quarters of a billion people that don't have access regularly to clean water, right? It goes on. Almost 60 million children who should be going to school that can't go to school because they don't have access to it. And this is the one that especially now hits me the hardest. 7,000 newborns who die every single day in developing countries. And that doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to happen. I was at a church in Vancouver recently, and there was a guest speaker who's from the field of missions, and he was saying, and this struck me, he said, the hardest thing for someone who's not part of our faith, who's not a Christian, the hardest thing for them to accept that we claim is that God is good. The hardest thing to believe about Christianity for someone who's not a Christian is that God is good.
He said the hardest thing for people
they look at the world and they see things like this and
think,
how can we possibly believe that God is good? How can I believe what you say? I do believe that God is good. I do believe that he's worthy of being trusted, and I know that most of you do too, if not all of you. And I think that God wants everyone in this world that he's made to come to an understanding, to know his goodness, to accept that he is good, and to trust him. And not only that, I think that he has a plan to show the world that he is good. I believe that God's plan to show us his goodness is you and me. It's the church. But to understand this, I want to go back a little bit and start with, we'll just walk really quickly through. From the very beginning, when God created the world, he creates the world and he calls it good. And then he creates humans and he calls us very good. And so the origin of our story as the human race is this beautiful relationship where God calls us good, and we loved God, and we knew that he was good because we were in a close relationship with him. We loved God because we knew him, right? Until we didn't. Until the fall happens. And that's when we stopped trusting that God was good. And that God is enough, like we say. And so we separate God from our hearts. And our world has been marked by separation ever since that happened. We've been separated from our Creator. And so creation is broken because of that. And it's broken, why? Because we forgot who God is. We forgot that our Creator is love. We forgot that He's good. We forgot that He could be trusted.
We chose to partner exclusively.
So then, all the way through human history, God is pursuing us, and He's trying to show us who He is. So the Bible, in one sense, is really, it's a record of God and His people becoming reacquainted.
Right?
It's God and us slowly getting to know each other again. And God continually revealing Himself. And so it starts, one of the first ways He does that is He establishes Israel, right? And He establishes Israel to be a special people. This is a people that's going to reveal to the people around them, to the other nations, who their Creator is, what is His character, what is He like. By the way they live, God can be seen, right? That's the intention. Now, the people around Israel in the days when Israel was becoming a nation, those cultures, they live in this situation where they're just perpetually afraid, right? Because they don't really understand the way the world works then. We haven't learned a whole lot about things, right, as humans. And so what they go to is they start assigning gods to anything that they don't understand, okay? So it's raining. I don't know why it's raining. There must be a god, a rain god, that's making it rain, right? And so if it's raining and it rains enough that we have enough for our crops to grow, then the rain god must be happy. But if it doesn't rain enough for our crops to grow, then the rain god must be angry. So now we have to figure out how do we make the rain god happy, and they're coming up with all these systems and sacrifices, and they're getting bigger, and they're just guessing because the rain god isn't speaking to them, and He's not saying, this is what I want, so they don't know, right? And so all this guessing, and it results in just all this fear, right? Just whatever you do, don't make these gods angry, because there's a god for the rain and the sun and the ocean, and it goes on, right? And so there's so many sacrifices and all this stuff that they're doing. And the Bible tells us that in contrast with all that, God speaks to His people. And He gives them these really clear instructions, right? And so the Old Testament has all these laws. And imagine coming at that from another culture where your gods don't speak and they don't tell you what they want, right? And the Israelites say, hey, our God, He's telling us, right? Like He says, this is what to do. I want you to love each other. I want you to care for those among you who are in need, who need extra care, right? I want you to take only what you need. Don't take more, so that there's enough for everyone. This is the kind of people that God wants us to be, right? And so He's telling us really clear. There's 10 commandments, right? There's the laws. And so imagine that. Imagine the difference that would be, and what a breath of fresh air that must be to someone who's used to just guessing and living in fear, right? So over the course of the Old Testament, it just gets simpler. It just gets easier, right? God is continuing to reveal Himself. It starts with Israel. He gives the law. There's prophets who are God's mouthpiece, right? And He's speaking and He's revealing Himself. And then finally, we have Jesus, who is the fullest, clearest picture of God that we've ever seen, of Yahweh, of our Creator, right? And Jesus comes and He shows us a God that is made of love. This is a God who is good. This is a God that we can trust. When we look at Jesus, we see someone who is good and who is trustworthy. But the story still doesn't end. It doesn't end with Jesus. So Matthew 16, 18 and 19, right? I honestly think this is one of the most important and maybe underlooked verses in the Bible, because in these verses, God is about to reveal, Jesus is about to reveal what God's plan is to carry on the story, to carry on displaying His goodness to the world. And He says there, this is Jesus speaking to Peter, He says, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.
Now, when Reverend Xavier and I were in El Salvador together, we visited one of their local churches.
So here we are, and we see Jesus making a radical shift. The disciples, they're no longer just followers, they're no longer just disciples. God is saying, Jesus is saying to them that you are now the foundation of the church. And His language actually shifts here in the Greek. It shifts. He now starts speaking of the ecclesia, of the church, as He speaks to them.
So, that are fighting each other.
Through the Holy Spirit, He says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit, and then I'm going to send you out. And so, through the Holy Spirit, God starts to build and sustain His church, and nothing is going to stop Him.
So over 10%,
and so He starts 2,000 years ago, and He's continuing to build His church even now. And so as the kingdom of God grows, as the church grows in our world, the kingdom of death and of darkness
young boys
shrinks, because there's only so much space.
So these six neighborhoods
as
around
light
this church
pushes,
split,
grows, it pushes the darkness out.
And
so the kingdom of hell that traps children in poverty, that brings death and destruction, gets smaller
because
God's kingdom is getting
bigger.
Now, there's a lot of different organizations that are trying to address the problem of poverty and hunger in our world. And there's lots of different strategies to do this. Now, compassion exists uniquely because
in the area
God showed us the problem.
He
challenged us to do something about it, and he asked us to do it in a particular way. In the early days of compassion's ministry,
we made a
crucial decision that stands today.
To their neighborhood.
Compassion chose to address poverty by partnering exclusively with the local church.
So they prayed for a strategy.
As we try to help the poor and help the poor and to fight
and
against poverty.
Heard about
so today, Compassion partners with more than 6,000 local evangelical Christian churches
compassion
around the world.
Offered to give them
so why is it
to build
that
to
Compassion
open a center for the poorest
to partner
children
exclusively
in
with the church?
Compassion
partners with the church because we know this, we've seen it, the Bible says it, the church is an unstoppable
so they
force. It's absolutely
and they went into the neighborhood to register children
on the planet. Jesus says right there, the gates, even the very gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. There's nothing that can stop it, right? And meanwhile,
so this program was
we believe
entirely
poverty
staffed
is the
by
greatest
volunteers
strategy
the
used by the kingdom of darkness that Satan uses. Because poverty
is
a lie. It's essentially a lie. And it speaks to people that are trapped
and
by
the children
it, and
were
it says
offered food,
that you have no
they were
hope.
Given help with their
and
schooling,
it speaks to children who are trapped by it, and it tells them that they're worthless. So children who are giving up on
they got
even
regular
having dreams
medical
for the
checkups
future before
and medicine
they
if they need
reach
it.
Adolescence.
So
the only way to end a lie
but
like
most
that,
importantly,
the only way that we know how, is by partnering with God as he builds his church
and they learn
and bringing the gospel
that God is
and bringing
good
hope.
Because a church cared enough to show them.
When we were in El Salvador, Reverend Xavier and I went, we visited a local church there. The church stood, it was at the intersection
now,
of six
it
different
happens that there was a man
six,
in
six
that
neighborhoods. Now, so one of the things you need to know about El Salvador is that this country is very violent because there's two very, very powerful gangs that are
he was a leader in one of these
gangs, so they're
and his job was
for territory and for land.
600 youth,
over 10%,
teenagers,
one out of every 10
as they fought
males
for his gang.
In the country of El Salvador is affiliated with one of these gangs, and that includes teenagers and even young boys are the gangs recruited to work in different ways. So these six neighborhoods around this church are split. So one of the gangs is controlled three of them, and another gang controls the other three.
Program.
So,
one of the children
because of that,
was
the church is just surrounded by violence. There's violence all the time. And the pastor told us while we were sitting with him that about 12 years ago, every month there was between 15 to 60 murders were happening because of these gangs fighting for territory
for even
in the area right around this church. Imagine that. And so this church is there, and they know that God has put
so
them there for a purpose,
to the
and they know that God is calling them to bring the gospel
about
into even this situation, and they don't know how to do it, so they prayed for a strategy, right?
Now the pastor
and then one day,
him,
word of mouth comes,
and
they
he told
hear
us
about
that he
what
spent
compassion
2 years
to
talking to this man and praying for him.
And so compassion comes to this church, and they offered to give them resources so that they can open a center for the poorest children in the neighborhood. This is a center.
Until finally,
it's a
respite
from the violence.
Told the pastor that he was
safe,
leaving the
colorful
game,
zone,
and he was
in
going to become a
dark,
Christian.
Dark neighborhood. And so the church formed this partnership, and they go into the neighborhood.
Now then, the pastor
to start registering children in a program,
and told us
that
the man was in the room with us.
Church volunteers. The children are given food. They're given
his name is
given
Brother
help
Nelson.
With their schooling.
Brother Nelson.
They're going to get and regular medical
not only
checkups
is he
and
a member
medicine
of the
if they
church
need it.
Today,
and most importantly, they're going to learn
now
about
the church's
Jesus
youth
while
pastor.
They're there. And they learn that God is good. Why? Because there's a church.
I think training for youth pastors in Canada
to show
looks a little bit different.
That he is good. Now it doesn't end there because it happens that there's
now,
a man
today,
in that neighborhood who
that
people were absolutely afraid
gone.
Of. So this is a man who was affiliated with a gang, and he had risen to a certain level of prominence in his gang that he had leadership nationally over 600 teenage boys that reported to him as they fought for this gang. 600. And so this is a ruthless man. They told
them
people did not want to cross paths because of this work. But as this church went out and registered children in their program, one of the children they registered happened to be his daughter. And so
this kind of change, it couldn't have
this
happened.
Man began to see
the local
how a Christian church was caring even for his family. And he doesn't, he's not sure.
I shared earlier some stats.
And so what he does, he goes to figure it out, right? He's not afraid. He's going to show up. What are you doing? So he starts showing up at the church. And he starts trying to figure out what they're doing. And the pastor sees him at the door, and he recognizes
him, right?
So he goes out to him.
Most of those stats,
and he told us that he spent 2 years talking to this man, praying for him, until finally one day, he says to him, I'm leaving the gang, and I want to come to your church, and I want to
be a Christian. The number of children who die every day.
So then the pastor surprises us and says, by the way, he's sitting right here in the corner. And so there he is. This is him, and his name is Brother Nelson. And not only is Brother Nelson now a member of that church, he's actually their youth pastor. Unbelievable. I think training for youth pastors looks a little bit different here than it does in El Salvador, but I don't.
In the last 25 years again,
today the violence around that church is almost gone.
In extreme poverty,
there's still some, but it's nearly eradicated. And when the national police force went into that neighborhood and started asking questions, what's changed here? Person after person after person pointed
God is at
the
work,
church and said,
he's
they did it.
Healing,
the violence is gone because of the work that they
his creation.
Did.
And he is doing it.
This kind of change for a neighborhood, for children, for families, for people trapped by gangs, it doesn't happen. And it can't happen without the church. I shared some stats a little bit earlier.
Compassion
some
believes
gloomy
in the church
stats and facts
because
about poverty,
God
but what I didn't tell you then
compassion
is that a very short time ago, most
the
of those stats were
God's
much, much worse
plan
than
plan A
now.
To change the world.
In the last 25 years, the number of children, remember that one? That children dying every day because of poverty-related causes, that's gone down from 40,000 to 17,000.
He started with the disciples.
We've more than cut it in
half.
And
he told them that they were
the number of people globally living in extreme poverty, we've cut that in half.
In bringing in his kingdom.
God is absolutely at work bringing healing, bringing restoration to his creation, and the way he's doing it is through his church. Compassion believes
now,
in the church
you will know the name
because God believes in the church. The church is God's plan
he was an
A
American
to
evangelist
change the world, and there is no plan B. This is how he's doing it. He started with disciples. He told them that you are a foundation for a force that is going
to
be unstoppable
in
bringing in my kingdom. Now, if you're a child living in El Salvador, living in one of those neighborhoods, it's overcome by gangs
and
by violence.
Now, we estimate that during his life,
you're afraid to go down the wrong street. You're
people to Christ.
Constantly hungry, and you're watching your parents struggle to find work so that they can provide the basics.
And after his death, his influence continued through
the
churches he started and through the Moody Bible Institute.
Now, what if a pastor knocked on your door and told you that his church wanted to make sure that you wouldn't be hungry anymore?
It's reasonable
and his church wanted to make sure that you wouldn't have to worry about getting sick because you're going to see a doctor, and if you need it, they're going to help you get access to health care. And they're going to make sure that you can attend school for as long as possible, and they're going to invest in your future through vocational training.
Yet despite all that he accomplished,
first you'd probably think the pastor was crazy and you wouldn't trust him.
He said,
but once you kind of got over that, how much easier is it now to trust in a God that says he sees you and he loves you?
I would devote my entire life to ministering to children.
Reverend Xavier wanted me to come here this morning. He invited me here this morning so that you'd have a chance to join what Compassion is doing by sponsoring one of our children. And I'm totally convinced of this, that there really isn't a better investment that you can make to build the kingdom of God and to defeat the kingdom of hell and of poverty than by investing in children through compassion.
That makes them the largest people group.
A quick story. Probably a lot of you know the name Dwight Moody. He's an American evangelist in the 1800s. He's a contemporary of Hudson Taylor, and I'm told he's an active supporter of China Inland Mission, or OMF.
Before they turned 50.
Our estimates are that during his life, Dwight Moody was responsible for personally leading thousands of people. We don't know the exact numbers, but
it is so important.
And not only that, but after he died, his influence continued. Right, he started churches. There's the Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. It's not an unreasonable estimate to say that there are hundreds of thousands of lives that have been changed and brought into the kingdom of God because of Dwight Moody's work.
Reverend Xavier invited me
and yet, despite
here to share this
all of that, despite all those things that he accomplished and that number of souls that are in heaven because of him, toward the end of his life, D.L. Moody said this: "If I could live my life over again, I would devote my entire life to ministering to children."
Here's what we know is happening because of Compassion's ministry.
My entire life, thousands of people he saved personally, he's brought into relationship with Christ, and he says, "I would undo that and do it all with kids."
80% of children,
what would lead someone to say that,
come from non-churched homes.
I talked about the 414 window. This is a missions concept, an idea. You may already know that nearly 75% of people who are Christians today made their first decision to follow Christ before they were 15 years old. It is so important. Children need to hear this news, this good news, while they're young and have a chance to follow Christ. Despite that, our estimates are that probably 20 to 30% of what Christians globally spend on missions is aimed at children. So there's
saved
a bit
not
would
just
suggest
from poverty,
a strategic disparity here.
Here's
what we know is happening
saved for all eternity
because of Compassion's ministry. The children that join our programs, 80% of them come from families that don't attend church. They're not church kids.
Made their first decision to follow Christ.
They're coming to church. They're learning about Jesus. What we've learned through experience is that once these kids are sponsored, the vast, vast majority of them come to accept Christ. So they're saved not just from poverty.
Now we also know
isn't just about that.
Everything that
they're
happens
saved for
because
all
of
eternity.
Your sponsorship is carried
in the
out
last
by a local church.
Calendar year alone, over 120,000 children under 18 made their first decision to follow Christ. So in the time that I've been talking to you, if it were to happen consistently,
my loving Christian
there'd be five or six. Every 4 minutes, a child is making the decision to follow Christ through one of Compassion's
partner churches. So in a church like the one Reverend Xavier and I visited, we
also know this. Everything that happens because of the sponsorships that people here are sponsoring, it's all carried out by a local church, Christian, loving Christian volunteers. So when a church like the one Reverend Xavier and I visited together, when they form that first partnership with Compassion, on average, and this is happening over and over all around the world, on average, in the first 3 years, that church grows. That church grows anywhere from 300 to 400
people coming from other churches,
and that is all growth from new believers coming to church.
I can't imagine how my church would be
coming from the church down the road because there's a better program. It's new believers coming to Christ, and churches are tripling and quadrupling in size.
And so
I can't
that's happening, and there are
6,000
churches
with that kind of growth if
we
experience that.
You got.
That's happening not just in one or two places. That's happening with 6,000 churches around the world that Compassion partners with.
Because of sponsors
like you and I, the church is growing, the kingdom of God is growing,
the church is growing,
and the kingdom of hell
of God is growing.
What you can do by sponsoring one of our children, it's not just to share resources, it's not just feeding hungry mouths. It is that, but you also get to be responsible
so what you can do
for helping a child,
sponsoring one of our children,
probably their entire
to share
family.
Your
we don't count those stats, but we know that that happens as well. A child and probably their entire family make their way into God's kingdom.
You get
from
to be
darkness
responsible
into light.
For helping a child and probably
show a
their
quick
entire
video
family
here.
Make
and
their way
back
into God's kingdom, from darkness into light.
I
think there's a short video that we want to quickly show, and then I'll come back.
My name is Kaylin Carolina Rodriguez. I'm 9 years old. I live in this house with my mom and dad and my two sisters. My mom gets sick a lot. It makes me sad, then I cry for her. I pray for her because I want her to feel better.
We often don't have enough money for food, and life is hard. I do get sick a lot, and I worry what will happen to my children if I got really ill. Kaylin tells me, Mama, keep going. I want her to have a different life, not to live like this.
La historia de Kaylin.
Kaylin's story is one we see again and again in this community. Poverty is extreme here, and it is the children who suffer most. And so, when we reach out to a child like Kaylin through our compassion program here at the church, it is really about changing a child's life, giving a child love, hope, and the things we need.
I asked my mom, who loves Kaylin and loves. My name is Kaylin Carolina Rodriguez. I'm 9 years old. And tell them I love them. I live in this house with my mom and dad, and my two sisters. My mom gets sick a lot. It makes me sad, and I cry for her. I pray for her because I want her to feel better.
We often don't have enough money for food, and life is hard. I do get sick a lot, and I'm worried what will happen to my children if I got really ill.
One of the worst things about poverty is that it just
Kaylin tells me
hope and the things they need to learn.
God wants to bless them with.
I've asked my mom why I've been waiting a long time and still don't have a sponsor. If I had a sponsor, I had them and tell them I love them.
The first time I saw Kaylin's picture, something about her just drew me in, realizing that here's a real child with an age and a family, and that I can get involved in this and change that story for her.
To a child in poverty, having a sponsor sends a message that it's truly life-changing. It says, you are known, your life matters, you are valued and loved.
I think Kaylin's major challenge would be feeling like she's worth it. One of the worst things about poverty is that it steals from kids the one thing that God wants to bless them with so much of, and that's hope.
Share that news finally with her family.
So the fact that she's lived to the age of 10 in a hopeless situation, it's not right. And so I'm so excited that her life is about to change.
Child development project. It'll change the way she's
Kaylin has been coming to the church for over a year without a sponsor. I know she has been praying for one, and today it is my great joy to give her the good news. God has answered her prayers.
There's no doubt that none of us can change the entire I think Kaylin would be just overjoyed to be able to share that news finally with her family. I would imagine it would be a very joyful time. As Kaylin grows up through the Compassion Child Development Project, it'll change the way she sees everything. She will have confidence. She'll have, hopefully, a relationship with Jesus. I think she'll be crying some happy tears.
Rescue them from poverty.
There's no doubt that while none of us can change the entire world, we can each change the world for one child in need. And there are children who need us. There's a child who needs you. So I would encourage everyone to rush out to that sponsorship table and look at those kids and find the one that needs you, because one of them does.
And cared for by a Christian church who will introduce them to Jesus.
So,
about 20 years ago, give or take, there was a big celebration in South Korea.
You can help those churches meet the needs of their whole community.
Celebrating because Compassion was leaving South Korea.
They
just didn't need us anymore. The church was doing well. The country was doing well. but the church was thriving. And so we had a celebration. We gathered churches together that we partnered with and celebrated with them what God had done. And during that night, a pastor stood up to speak, and he was visibly moved as he thanked compassion for their ministry in his country. And he said, "You see,
now we've brought once I was one of those children who was sponsored, and Togo, which I understand,
and today I'm a pastor of a church that is investing in children." And then another pastor stood up and said, "Yeah, I too was a child that was sponsored through compassion." And it turned out that the majority of the pastors in that room had been sponsored by compassion sponsors. Talk about an impact. So for $41 a month, you can be a sponsor.
But more than anything,
children,
this is a chance
and share with
to
them
become
the
a missionary
Christ,
to one child or more.
Poverty.
Without even needing
each
to
child
leave
is going to receive nutrition, receive medical care, education,
and
the chance to grow up in a world where they're loved by a church,
you can
cared for by a Christian church,
we partner with the church
who's going to introduce them to Jesus.
Compassion
is absolutely committed to financial integrity.
To help
your money
us build
is invested
the kingdom
properly.
Of God.
And goes towards supporting these children.
So that the kingdom of darkness
for an extra $10 a month, there's an option to give extra funds that the churches can use to meet the needs of their whole community, whether that's job training for parents so that they can provide their families, whether it's access to clean water
and
responding to community health needs.
Heavenly Father,
most importantly, more important than any of that, the opportunity that we have is to become a missionary.
Thank you for the ways that you're already
to
using
more children
here this morning
without ever
in
your
kingdom
to leave Canada. We have most of them are downstairs. There's a few in the foyer. We have a lot of kids here
this
morning
that you choose
who are in
to use
Ghana
us,
and
your
Togo,
people,
where I understand
to bring healing to your
right
creation.
Now in Togo, is that right?
Yeah.
So we understand there's a relationship with those countries, and so we have the chance to invest in a new way back into those countries. But there's others from other parts of the world as well.
World.
You get to start a relationship with this
that
child
we would all remain
to tell them that you love
the
them, words
that you
they probably, many of them haven't heard very often, to tell them that you're praying for them, to tell them that God
thank
is good,
the blessing of children,
to tell them that God can be trusted. You get to help us,
and the huge
help compassion,
they have
partner with us as we partner with the church to build up the kingdom of God so that the kingdom of darkness has nowhere
God,
to go.
God, we pray for the many children who are in need of your
I'm
love.
I'm so glad that
I've
had a chance to be here with you this morning to share a little bit about this. I hope that you're feeling encouraged by what God is doing in this world. I know I am. And I really encourage you to come check us out at the table downstairs where we're in the foyer. So will you pray as we close? Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful to you for this church that we're standing in this morning. Thank you for the ways that you're using this congregation to build up your kingdom. And God, I'm grateful for this church and the church around the world. God, I pray that you will help us all to be faithful to the things and places that you're calling us to. And God, we pray for the many children around the world who are in need of your hand, of touch of your hand, to are in need of your love and your protection. God, I pray that you will use your people, use us, to meet the needs of every child who needs you. God, we are so grateful to be part of something that you've said is more powerful than the power of hell. God, you're so good. We praise you this morning. Amen.